stage on the mic, and we putting it on wax. It's the new style.
4 and 3 and 2 and 1.
What up?
We're gonna stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Suicide is a suicide.
If there's a witness in the house tonight that nothing succeeds like success, say yes. Yes. If this world is an oyster, then I came to eat it out until it leaves scratch marks all around my neck. I guess we all know people who couldn't win even if everyone else in this world forfeited. If God gave some people Michael Jordan's talent, they would just lay up and not be able to score with it. But because I love you, I'm about to do things to this microphone that none of you will ever forget. My brothers, you will leave here tonight with your brains hard. My sisters, you will leave here tonight with your minds wet. Make no mistake. What you see in front of you is a God. My sisters, no need to twist up your faces. My brothers, no need to nod. Just look at me. There is energy surrounding me like skin. And when this thing here tonight ends, I want you to all come closer to me. Because I am now qualified to show each and every one of you how things are supposed to be. Our supervisor has authorized me to give each of you insight into the 36 degrees of exactly what your soul controls. Now, I would be remiss if I didn't show you how to put candle wax in tops and shoot scales with my yacht, to do cannabis with anubis and use feathers to measure hearts, to smoke angel dust with angels and hit meth with Mephistopheles while other souls fall victim to prophecy for improperly trying to copy these signs and symbols of the galaxy. Their fallacy is in their analogy. They become over-dependent on technology instead of using their minds to shape this reality. But you have created me to poetically show you what you need to see, but that you have called me into existence, there is no such soul as Talam AC. Your mind has placed me on this stage, at this hour, on this day, to show you things that you have already suspected, but needed psychosomatically suggested to you anyway. If there's a witness in the house tonight that nothing succeeds like success, say yes. There are those people who make things happen, those people who watch things happen, and those people who find out what happened through Soap Opera Digest. I guess we all know people who couldn't get a life if they were giving them away free with traffic tickets. It's sad to say, but some people are stuck on failure, like adolescent boys are stuck on pornographic pictures. But my beloved, none of us are made out of any special molecules. No, every molecule is infinite. And all things found outside it can also be found within it. And in that sense, nothing is ever created or invented. Energy just changes from form to form. They say the only thing new in this world is the history you haven't heard yet. The only advantage other souls have over yours is the mathematics you haven't learned yet. It is through mathematics that I have collected these degrees. It is through mathematics that I no longer need a J-O-B. It is through mathematics that I've had the audacity to hire 3 employees. And check this out. I still have no idea what I do for a living. The one thing that permeates this existence is balance, and those of us who succeed add 180 degrees to each challenge. We think, walk, talk, and interact to the intermittent frequencies of the galaxy, and those of us who fail, fail because we refuse to use our minds to redesign this reality. They put their lives in the hands of the universe like dice, then look surprised when the universe hands them back snake eyes. If there's a witness in the house tonight that nothing succeeds like success, say yes. Yes. God could put a big fat yellow halo over some people's heads all day, and they would still refuse to believe that they were blessed. I guess we all know people who couldn't prosper, even if you gave them 50 grand on consignment. Them punks would probably go out and cop a platinum Rolex, get robbed for it, and spend the rest of their lives wondering where the time went. Success is never a mistake. It is always premeditated karma.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
The lands of Benez Perce stretch from Oregon to Idaho. But in the 1860s, the federal government seized millions of acres, crowding them into small parts of their former territories. Chief Joseph led the resistance to the colonization of Nez Perce lands, But his people came under fierce attack, and in 1877, he and his followers were defeated. Joseph was sent to the Indian territories of Oklahoma, where he continued to speak out against the crimes of the U.S. government, as he did in a visit to Washington in 1879, which he recalls in this speech.
Now that your big eyes are finally opened, now that you're wondering how must they feel, meaning them that you've chased across America's movie screens, now that you're wondering how can it be real that the ones you've called colorful, noble, and proud in your school propaganda, they starve in their splendor. You've asked for my comment, I simply will render.
And last I was granted permission to come to Washington and bring my friend Yellow Bull and our interpreter with me. I'm glad I came. I've shaken hands with a good many friends, but there are some things I want to know which no one seems able to explain. I cannot understand how the government sends a man out to fight us, as it did General Miles, and then breaks his words. Such a government has something wrong about it. I cannot understand how so many chiefs are allowed to talk so many different ways and promise so many different things. I have seen the great Father Chief and many other law chiefs, and they all say they are my friends and that I shall have justice. But while all their mouths talk right, I do not understand why nothing is done for my people. I have heard talk and talk, but nothing is done. Words do not pay for my dead people. They do not pay for my country now overrun by white men. They do not protect my father's grave. They do not pay for my horses and cattle. Good words do not give my children back. Good words will not make good the promise of your war chief, General Miles. Good words will not give my people good health and stop them from dying.
My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. Now that the longhouses breed superstition, you force us to send our toddlers away to your schools, where they're taught to despise their traditions, forbid them their languages, then further say that American history really began when Columbus set sail out of Europe, and stress that the nation of leeches that's conquered this land are the biggest and bravest and boldest and best. And yet where in your history books is the tale of the genocide basic to this country's birth, of the preachers who lied, how the Bill of Rights failed, how a nation of patriots return to their earth? And where will it tell of the Liberty Bell as it rang with a thud over Kins or mud, and a brave Uncle Sam in Alaska this year?
Good words will not give my people a home where they can live in peace and take care of themselves. I'm tired of talk that comes to nothing. It makes my heart sick when I remember all the good words and all the broken promises. There has been too much talk by men who had no right to talk. If the white man wants to live in peace with the Indians, he can live in peace. There need be no trouble. Treat all men alike. Give them the same laws. Give them all an even chance to live and grow. All men were made by the same great spirit chief. They are all brothers. If you tie a horse to a stake, do you expect he will grow fat? If you pen an Indian up on a small spot of earth and compel him to stay there, he will not be contented, nor will he grow and prosper. I have asked some of the great white chiefs where they get their authority to say to the Indian that he shall stay in one place while he sees the white men going where they please. They cannot tell me. When I think of our condition, my heart is heavy. I see men of my own race treated as outlaws and driven from country to country or shot down like animal.
My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. Hear how the bargain was made for the West. With her shivering children in 0 degrees. Blankets for your land, so the treaties attest. Oh well, blankets for land is a bargain indeed. And the blankets were those Uncle Sam had collected from smallpox disease, dying soldiers that day, and the tribes were wiped out, and the history books censored. 100 years of your statesmen have felt it's better this way, yet a few of the conquered have somehow survived. Their blood runs the redder, though genes have been paled, from the Grand Canyon's caverns to craven sad hills. The wounded, the losers, the robbed sing their tale. From Los Angeles County to upstate New York, the white nation fattens while others grow lean. Oh, the tricked and evicted, they know what I mean.
I only ask of the government to be treated as all other men are treated. We only ask an even chance to live as other men live. We ask to be recognized as men. We ask that the same laws shall work alike on all men. If an Indian breaks the law, punish him by the law. If a white man breaks the law, punish him also. Let me be a free man, free to travel, free to stop, free to work, free to trade where I choose, free to choose my own teachers, free to follow my religion of my fathers, free to talk, think, and act for myself, and I will obey every law or submit to the penalty. Whenever the white men treats the Indians as they treat each other, then we shall have no more wars. We shall be all alike, brothers of one father and mother, with one sky above us and one country around us and one government for all. Then the great spirit chief who rules above will smile upon this land and send rain to wash out the bloody spots made by brothers' hands upon the face of the earth.
My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. The past, it just crumbled. The future just threatens. Our lifeblood shut up in your chemical tanks. And now here you come, bill of sale in your hand, and surprise in your eyes that we're lacking in thanks for the blessings of civilization you've brought us, the lessons you've taught us, the ruin you've wrought us. Oh, see what our trust in America has bought us. My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying. Charity. Now that we're harmless and safe behind laws, now that my life's to be known as your heritage, now that even the graves have been robbed, now that our own chosen way is a novelty, hands on our hearts, we salute you, your victory. Choke on your blue, white, and scarlet hypocrisy, pitying the blindness that you've never seen, that the eagles of war whose wings lent you glory, they were never no more than carrion crows. Pushed the wrens from their nest, stole their eggs, changed their story. The mockingbird sings it, it's all that she knows. Ah, what can I do? Say a powerless few with a lump in your throat and a tear in your eye. Can't you see that they're poverty's profiting you? My country, 'tis of thy people you're dying.
This is NBC Nightly News, Wednesday, May 3rd, reported by John Chancellor.
Good evening. We've got news today of a tragic fire in an Idaho silver mine. Many are dead and more than 50 men are either trapped or dead, and we'll have a report on that story. We'll have the final returns from the Indiana presidential primary, but not from yesterday's primary in Ohio, because in perhaps the worst foul-up in that state's electoral history, they are still counting the Ohio votes. Yesterday's primary elections in Ohio and Indiana seemed to narrow the presidential field a bit. Senator Henry Jackson of Washington State, who didn't run well in the primaries, pulled out, but says he plans to play a role at the convention. Here's the Indiana tally with 99% of the precincts reporting. Hubert Humphrey, the winner, with 47%, and George Wallace, a strong second, with 42%. And here's what we have on the Ohio contest. Humphrey again in the lead with 41%, closely followed by George McGovern, who has 39%. But only 69% of the Ohio precincts have been counted because there's been an astounding breakdown in balloting and counting procedures. In fact, it may be some time before we know the Ohio results. In Akron, they haven't yet counted any presidential ballots. In Cincinnati, they have counted only one-third of the vote, and as Jack Perkins now reports, the situation in Cleveland is really a mess.
There are several places in Cleveland where the polling places still have not opened yet for yesterday's election, which is to say there are thousands of Cleveland voters who never did get the chance to vote. In this neighborhood of South Euclid, suburban Cleveland, there are 2,330 registered voters. They were supposed to vote yesterday at Roland's school. But election officials at the school never did get the voting machines going. In Cleveland, in the 20th ward, which is a black ward, none of the polling places was open during the day. Some opened last night, some never did open. The councilman of the 20th ward figures two-thirds of his people were deprived of their right to vote yesterday.
I'm sorry about what happened. Okay, go ahead.
The problem was that voting machines were not ready, in some cases were not even there. The man responsible for the voting machines said simply,
"I goofed. That's all. I goofed. That's all."
He took the blame, but some officials said the entire election board should be fired. Still, what about the thousands of people in Greater Cleveland who did not get to vote? a congressional candidate, filed a suit in federal court today.
We're asking that the yesterday's election, the primary election, be set aside in Cuyahoga County, and that a new election be ordered within 30 days.
Well, whether you invalidate the election, or whether you give them those people who did not vote an opportunity to vote, you got to pursue one or the other course, because Mrs. Jones or Ms. Smith, who lives down the corner, who've always voted, did not vote because the booths were not operative. She must vote. If she didn't vote yesterday, then she should be allowed to vote next week.
Most politicians around Cleveland haven't decided what should happen. They don't want to say the election should be invalidated till they know how it comes out. They don't want to say the election should be invalidated till they know how it comes out. They don't want to say the election should be invalidated till they know how it comes out.
That's not even funny.
Barack Obama has launched his latest election campaign, which aims to show off his skills as a military leader as the anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden approaches.
That's one thing George Bush said that was right. The president is the decider in chief. Nobody can make that decision for you. Look, he knew what would happen. Suppose the Navy SEALs had gone in there and it hadn't been bin Laden. Suppose they'd been captured or killed. The downside would have been horrible for him. But he reasoned. I cannot in good conscience do nothing. He took the harder and the more honorable path.
The praise has been far from universal, though. Republican presidential hopeful Mitt Romney rubbishing Obama's leadership credentials.
You would have given the order, Governor?
Of course.
Even Jimmy Carter would have given that order.
The president has hit back, though, criticizing Romney's track record.
I just recommend that everybody take a look at people's previous statements in terms of whether they thought it was appropriate to go into Pakistan and take out bin Laden. I assume that people meant what they said when they said it.
Osama bin Laden is just one person. He is representative of networks of people who absolutely have made their cause to defeat the freedoms that we take that we understand, and we will not allow him to do so.
Mr. You want bin Laden dead?
I want him held. I want justice. And there's an old poster out west, as I recall, that said "Wanted, dead or alive." I mean, this is a guy who 3 months ago was in control of a country. Now he's maybe in control of a cave. He's on the run. Listen, a while ago I said to the American people, our objective is more than bin Laden. But one of the things for certain is we're going to get him running and keep him running and bring him to justice.
Yeah. Can I just add to that a couple
of
weeks
can.
Ago?
No, you can't. This is the second follow-up. You usually get one follow-up. It was nice enough to give you one. I didn't give anybody on this side a follow-up, and now you are trying
they
to take a second
try.
Follow-up. I know you tried. Of course we're after Saddam Hussein. I mean, bin Laden.
Then as if that wasn't disturbing enough, this bill would grant the government broad authority to share that information between intelligence and law enforcement agencies and use it for virtually any purpose defined as important to cybersecurity or national security. I know it's 2012, but it sure feels like 1984 in this house today.
Conspiracy theories.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Stench of Truth. You know, all this hard work that I've put in to bring you videos commenting on the economic situation, the dire straits of the depression and the recession, and everything else that's going on, the foreclosure crisis and all these sorts of things, and I could have just saved myself a lot of time and energy and not done any of it, because of course all we have to do is just wait for the white dragon, tong, ninja, secret white brotherhood of death fangs from China, who are going to come and save everything. And if they don't, then of course David Wilcock and the trillion-dollar secret gold conspiracy lawsuit is going to fix everything up, and it's all going to be better, because They're just going to come in and they're going to save everybody from everything. So I didn't even need to do nothing. Benjamin Fulford's got all of his contacts over there in China, and they're the ones that say, have this secret white dragon ninja tong brotherhood of white dragon tong ninjas who are going to save us from the evil predation of the banks. So I could have saved myself a lot of trouble. I could have saved myself 4 years of doing this sort of thing. But Benjamin Fulford, he has all the answers. And David Wilcock with the giant forehead. It's even taller than mine, if you could imagine such a thing. It has to be filled with all kinds of, like, really great sort of secret stuff hidden that's going to save us from economic disaster and calamity, and we're all going to be saved. Wow. I just wasted all of my... I wasted the last almost 5 years doing videos for nothing because the White Dragon Tong Ninja Brotherhood of Tong Ninjas who are white and the White Brotherhood of Tong Ninjas are going to save us. So, you know, what a letdown for me. Of course, there is one other alternative, and that, of course, is that Benjamin Fulford is a nut job. And David Wilcock is, I don't even know what the f*** David Wilcock is. I can't even figure out what the f*** he is by looking at him. Is he some kind of weird hybrid thing of something and something? And Benjamin Fulford, I'm sorry, is just completely f***ing nuts. And if there is anybody that believes that some f***ing white dragon tong ninja mother f***ing secret society shadow group is going to come and save you from the evil banks, you are a stupid mother.
Start out with the letter E.
Mm-hmm.
You say E.
Mm-hmm.
I say E, and then you go... And then you kind of gasp. You put the three together, E, like that. And then you do I. See, yeah, E, I'll do it real slow. E, I, E, 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 I, O, O, E, S, E, S, E, S, E,
A study published Friday by the University of Minnesota found that mosquitoes have no physiological reason for biting humans, with researchers noting that the insects feed exclusively on pollen and seemingly only suck human blood out of spite.
According to our findings, mosquitoes usually spit out the blood after a bite. They just really enjoy ruining outdoor activities and spreading deadly diseases.
Researchers added that mosquitoes often bite a variety of vertebrates besides humans, including baby pandas, koala bears, and very small puppies, all for fun. And in tech news, a new Visa talking credit card urges buyers to go for it.
Come on, buy it. You know you want it.
In other news, the utterance of a secret password grants customers access to a long-rumored 18-inch Subway sandwich. It's easy to tell what an area man would look like as a skeleton, and a longtime teacher retires without changing a single student's life.
Hey, mom, where you been? Been around the world and gone again. What's gonna do when you get back? Back left on the railroad track. Hey, mom, walk.
Now to that enormous sinkhole that has an entire neighborhood. Well, very concerned right now, to say the least. One family already evacuated, more worried that they'll be forced out as it spreads. And ABC's Yanji Denise has the very latest from the scene in Windermere, Florida, that, of course, near Orlando. Good morning, Yanji.
Good morning, Robin. It really is incredible. Take a look. This hole stretches 100 feet across, 50 feet deep. That is the length of a basketball court, big enough to fit two school buses inside, and it is growing. The hole is enormous and apparently still growing.
It's scary to even think about it.
Much of the ground simply collapsing in just one night.
When it came outside, it was just dropping into the hole.
The Lambro family woke up Thursday morning to find their Windermere, Florida backyard gone. The massive sinkhole, which has already swallowed four trees and a hammock, has now grown to at least 100 feet wide, 50 feet deep, and this morning appears to still be inching ever closer to the Lambro's back door.
I said it would be nice to have a pool. It's such a pretty view back there, but I didn't want this. That's a little too deep.
The home has been ruled unsafe, and the Lambro family evacuated. Now neighbors fear they may have to do the same.
You never know what's going to happen. It can spread even more because it's spreading like every hour right now.
We just bought a house last year in the neighborhood, so that was our first concern.
Yeah, is our house going to fall in the sinkhole too? So
just how does a sinkhole like this form? Groundwater builds up and dissolves minerals into the earth, creating a hole underground that eventually becomes so large the land on top caves in. They can run more than 100 feet deep. 2009, a Dallas sinkhole spread 600 feet wide, swallowing trailers, oil equipment, and telephone poles. This colossal sinkhole in Deltona, Florida in 2004 devoured homes in its path, stretching 225 feet. In the same year in Baltimore, a mother and daughter driving to the mall ended up in a 20-foot sinkhole. They were lucky to survive, which is why the family here got out fast. You can see that hole is right now up to the side of the house. We've already observed cracks in the stucco. Engineers will be out here later today to try to figure out how to stabilize it and hopefully how to fix it.
Karen Anderson, live in Cambridge tonight. Karen, officials insist the bacteria is not dangerous.
What the fuck?
That's right. They tell us that it is a bacteria that's been used in food supplements.
Pink slime.
Now, this is a first of its kind real world test, and it will happen right here this summer. And it's designed to find out how quickly we can respond to a biological terror attack on the tea.
Harvard Square Tea Stop, one of three MBTA stations where the federal government wants to launch its first of its kind testing to see how safe our subways are.
I wonder which particular biological warfare they're worried about.
Everywhere, like such as?
The Department of Homeland Security has installed sensors in the MBTA system to detect biological agents, and they've been testing to see how the air moves.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
When I move, you move.
Just like that.
Hell yeah, hey DJ, bring that back.
Now they want to release particles in the tunnels to see how well the sensors work.
I wonder why they have to like test it live like this. I don't know. Can they test it somewhere else? I don't. Not where there's actual like people around.
Everywhere, like such as.
Federal officials tell us they plan to test the subway sensors by releasing a bacteria that they say is used in food supplements.
Pink slime.
They say it's been rigorously tested and has no adverse health effects for low exposure with healthy people.
Is there any risk for us? You know, they say for healthy people, what if, who are the majority of the riders on the subway too? So I'm so-so. I'm not too worried about the tests because they have really rigorous hoops they have to jump through, I'm sure.
Political rally which ends in disaster. Thousands of revelers gathered to support Armenia's ruling Republican Party in the capital, Yerevan. Many were holding gas-filled balloons when a spark from a cigarette set them off. 140 people were injured in the fireball, many requiring hospital treatment. Incredibly, though, no one was killed.
Smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you puff yourself to death, tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that you hate to make him wait, but you just gotta have another cigarette.
Sports Dome. It's the startling confession that has the whole sports world buzzing. Soccer has come out of the closet to tell the world it's gay. A FIFA spokesperson made the announcement at a press conference earlier today.
Soccer is not ashamed of what it is. Soccer is a gay sport. Youth League soccer, the MLS, even the World Cup, all of it is completely gay.
Joining us now to discuss the impact of this is OSN senior analyst Reggie Greengrass. Reggie, why did soccer choose to come out now?
Mark, league officials said soccer was just tired of pretending to be something it's not. Deep down, soccer is about a bunch of guys running around not touching a polka dot ball with their hands. It shouldn't have to hide how gay it is.
Now, will this change the way the game is played?
No. If anything, I think we'll see a firmer commitment to the gayest parts of soccer.
Interesting.
Players will feel free now to do their bicycle kicks, juggle the ball with their knees, and generally just be as gay as they want to be without worrying what people think.
You know, it must have been difficult for soccer to hide the fact that it was gay for so long.
Absolutely. From ancient Greece to modern-day France, there has never been a time when soccer wasn't extremely gay.
Yeah, and as recently as 1885, a London tabloid ran a salacious story about soccer.
Yeah, rumors like that are what caused soccer to go to great lengths to hide its secret, Mark.
I see.
We saw in the early 1990s when soccer tried to project an overly macho image, headlined by Alexi Lala.
Well, in retrospect, it's so obvious soccer was just overcompensating.
Yeah, apparently, it wasn't until David Beckham came along that soccer began to edge its way out of the closet.
Yeah. Now, there's even been some backlash from within soccer. 16-year-old varsity high school player Jeff Getter, he released a statement saying, "I don't condone or accept soccer being gay. I don't like gay things. I don't like to be around gay things."
Hey, look, so of course a lot of people are prepared to play a gay sport. But the fact of the matter is, soccer's out. It's proud. It's going to tell the world, look at me. I'm gay.
Yeah.
I'm gay.
Gay things come in all shapes and sizes.
There is nobody around. There's military equipment here.
Just days after the Ministry of Defence announced controversial plans to plant defence systems around London ahead of the Olympic Games, deadly missiles have apparently been left unattended.
Crates clearly full of missiles and not a person in sight.
Journalist Brian Whelan claims to have found the missiles near his home in the gated Bow Quarter community in East London. A spokesperson for the MOD said the missiles were dummies.
The Beatsy Boy, they coming home, they coming home.
Every generation has their musical voice, and for children of the 80s, this was a major one for sure. Not only were they the most important white rap group of their time, they were a very important white regular rap group in general because of the sound they had that was very distinctive and different from what most rap groups sounded like at the time.
He was only 47, and he had an unusual cancerous growth on his salivary gland, is that right?
Yeah, that he'd been fighting for about 3 years, and I think a lot of fans had thought, you know, because they hadn't heard anything, that things were going well, and he had said that things were going well at a certain time, so I think it took a lot of people by surprise.
Now, when they first came out, they weren't taken very seriously. Right. They're sort of, bratty and seen as that, but they matured and they started introducing some very innovative video work, right? Tell us about that.
Right, and he was responsible for a lot of that. I mean, a lot of the video we were just seeing was introduced by him. I think what they did was they were able to take their image and reclaim it. I mean, I think their early sound was, as you said, this kind of frat boy image that they had. But later on, they really kind of developed a more thoughtful and definitely a more sarcastic and a bigger sense of humor in their music.
Johnny Royale! It's a bubble mushroom. I gave him 50 cents to buy some soup.
He knows the time.
I wear the fresh Gucci watch. He's even more over than my man.
Watch the windows on the Bowery at 3:45.
Cause he ain't gonna work on 94 no more. Living on
asleep or falling down on his face.
Sometimes no.
As the leader of the homeless.
Sometimes drunk.
And kids always phoneless.
Sleeping on the street
in a cardboard box.
Better off drinking than smoking a box.
He converted to Buddhism, I think, at some point after hearing the Dalai Lama speak, and then he started sort of to reassess this bad boy image and wanted to make sure he hadn't, you know, encouraged people to do drugs, to engage in bad behavior just by virtue of his performance.
And to mistreat women, which was just a big part of their first part of their image, for sure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that started to creep into their music, especially with the 1992 album Check Your Head. That was a really big watershed for them, where they were playing their own instruments. They kind of had this identity that was completely distinctive in rap music at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they were able to carry that on and really sustain a career into middle age, which you haven't seen for many rap stars.
So what's interesting is they got more respect as they got older and matured, right, from the music community as a whole and their public.
They've always had a very strange relationship with the rap music world in general. I think they're beloved by fans, but I think they've always been seen as a bit of an anomaly by, you know, the rap sort of mainstream, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, they were just inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame last month, I believe.
Correct.
He was not there. I don't think he could because of his illness, but the other members accepted the nomination were there.
Right. It's a very timely for that. And I think there's always debate about whether a rap group belongs in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but if you talk about it in terms of impact, what they had on the culture,
can't deny it.
What did they have that some other rappers that sort of followed, like, you know, Vanilla Ice, just didn't have?
What's the time?
It's time to get ill.
Now what's the time?
It's time to get ill.
So what's the time?
It's time to get ill.
Now what's the time?
Ignition and blast off. A Chinese rocket called the Long March 3B has soared into space, transporting twin navigation satellites. They'll form part of the constellation for the country's independently built global navigation system. The satellite pair are the 12th and 13th of their kind to be launched by the country and form part of the Beidou system. When complete, the system will be capable of providing continuous, real-time 3D geospatial positioning and speed measurement. What a mouthful! China's long-term goal is to develop a global navigation satellite network similar to GPS by 2020, marking a big step forward for the country by reducing its reliance on the West for key technologies.
All right! Well, you know you- that sock would repay walking on the moon. Oh, I hope my legs don't break walking on the moon. I said we could walk forever walking on the moon. I said we could be together walking on the moon. Walking on the moon.
North America was lit up by a once-a-year supermoon, or perigee, on Saturday night. Hundreds of stargazers gathered across the continent to witness the display.
We just wanted to get out of the light pollution of LA and get a good view of how bright it would be and how big it would be.
Said I'm walking back from your house, walking on the moon. Oh, I'm walking back from your house, walking on the moon. On my feet, they hardly touch the ground, walking on the moon. I said my feet don't hardly make no sound, walking on the moon. I said some may say, I'm wishing my days away, but no way. Well, it is a price I must pay. Well, you say tomorrow's another day. Well, you say I may as well fly. Oh, you know.
Supermoon may outshine meteor shower this weekend. The biggest full moon of the year and so-called supermoon will take center stage when it rises this weekend and may interfere with the peak of an annual meteor shower created by the leftovers from Halley's Comet. The supermoon of 2012 is the biggest full moon of the year and will occur on Saturday, May 5th at 11:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, though the moon may still appear full to sky watchers on the day before and after the actual event. At the same time, the annual Eta Aquarid meteor shower will be hitting its peak. NASA scientists say its light will wash out the fainter Etna Aquarid meteors. NASA meteor expert Bill Cook of the Marshall Space Flight Center told Space.com in an email. Still, Cook said there is a chance the brightest fireballs from the meteor display may still be visible. Man, I wish I could go out to some remote area with my camera this weekend. Damn. A supermoon occurs when the moon hits its full phase at the same time it makes its closest approach to the Earth for the month, a lunar milestone known as a perigee. Scientists also refer to the event as a perigee. Yeah, there's the energy, I'm sure, will be popping off the charts Saturday night, you know. First of May, outdoor up begins today.
Said giant steps up would we take, walking on the moon. Oh, I hope my legs don't break walking on the moon. I said that we could walk forever walking on the moon. I said that we could be together walking on the moon. I said some may say I'm wishing my days away, but no way. For it is the price I must pay. Where you say tomorrow's another day. Where you say I may as well fly. Oh, you know, oh, you know, yeah. All right. Oh, it'd be so nice. Keep it up. I keep it up right now. I keep it up. I keep it up right now. I keep it up. All you got, all you got. I keep it up right now. You're right. Walking on the moon.
I started to look at this, and you know, you realize that, as one scientist said, the only thing you can safely say about the moon is it's observational error. It shouldn't be there. You know, as someone, another scientist said, that with the Earth's magnetic field and the size of the Earth may well not have a satellite. And if it did have a satellite, it would be very, very small. One postulated maybe 30 miles around. This one's 2,160 miles around. In fact, it's bigger than Pluto. And some scientists don't see the Earth-Moon association so much as a dual planet association. It's massive. It shouldn't be there. And then you start to look at it, and of course two Russian scientists from the Soviet Academy of Sciences in the 70s wrote a very detailed article for a magazine, called Sputnik magazine, saying that the moon was actually a gigantic spacecraft, hollowed out spacecraft. You know, I feel, you know, it could be constructed from scratch, if you like, or it could be a hollowed out planetoid, because this is a really important area of perception. If you want to put people in a box of, in a terms of their sense of possibility, then suppress the information that can give them a sense of possibility outside of the limits you want them to have. And if you do that, then when something comes along, or someone like me comes along and says this is happening well outside the box, people in the box have taken on this limitation of possibility. God, that's impossible, that's ridiculous. No, it's impossible for humans to do it. It ain't impossible to do. And so we need to open our minds to the fact that, funny enough, sits back in amazement, humanity at this time is not at the cutting edge of possibility.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
I found myself appearing in magistrates' courts quite a lot, quite regularly. And I thought it would lighten proceedings quite a lot if I had a long and difficult name, which not only I could say in court, but they would be obliged to repeat back to me as well. So I changed my name to Oddsocks McWeirdo El Tutti Frutti Farto Hello Hippopotamus Bum. Now, 6 months later, I decided that maybe wasn't quite dignified enough, so I changed it again to Oddsocks McWeirdo El Tutti Frutti Mr. Farto Hello Hippopotamus Bum. I think we can all live in cooperation as free individuals without hurting our fellow sentient beings, but we'll have to work on it. The world is for sharing. And to this day, that is my full legal surname.
Now, go find the others. .com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.